Today's scripture reading is from 2 Samuel on page 285 of the Old Testament. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him with his children. It used to eat of his meager fare and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against that man. He said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, for you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, I will raise up trouble against you from within your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes, and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this very son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan said to David, "Now the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die."
So what are we going to do with that story? So this morning I'm going to invite you to go to the theater with me, but give me just a moment to set it up. It's just a simple two-act play, really. It's entitled, "Who is Your Nathan?" So the stage set is quite simple. You really only need two chairs for the first act. One for Nathan, the great prophet. If you don't know anything about prophets, prophets are the ones that point out things that aren't going so well. They point out when you're not doing so well, when you're not doing perhaps what God wants you to do. And David, at this point, is the king of Israel, ruling the mightiest country in the world. And so the curtain rises as Nathan tells the story. There was a rich man who had many, many sheep. Lots of wealth, anything he could imagine. And then he had a poor man working for him who only had one little ewe. And he loved that ewe like his own child. Well, a foreigner came to visit the powerful man, the rich man with all of the money. And when someone comes to visit, you throw a feast. And you welcome your guest. So as they were preparing the meal, the man with all of the wealth, the man with all of the sheep, instructed his servant to go to the poor man's home and take his lamb to be used for the meal for the honored guest. And as David sat there and heard this story, he became quite indignant. He got angry and said, "That man deserves to be punished for what he did." Nathan turns to David and says, "You are that man." Curtain drops. The end of the first act. And we're sitting there a bit stunned as we go off to intermission to go get our nibbles and drinks and use the restroom. And as we talk to one another, we begin to think, how clever of Nathan to spin such a story to David. Because most of you know a little bit about David's background. Do you remember when he was found and discovered by God? What was he doing? Does anyone know? Tell me. Tending sheep. He was a shepherd boy, chosen by God to confront the enemy giant named Goliath. All he had at his disposal was that slingshot, because that's all he had is his weapon as a shepherd boy to use against the wolves that might come and attack his sheep. So if you're going to tell a story to someone, know something about their background, so that they can relate to the story that you're telling them. Nathan was quite clever in that first act to tell a story that the king would completely understand the injustice of it all. For if anyone knows the value of a sheep, it's a shepherd boy. We talk among ourselves at this intermission, wondering what is going to happen next. The curtain rises on scene two, the final scene of the play, and we're taken to a series of flashbacks because you want to know exactly what has David done. Now, David, much like the rich man with many sheep, David has now accumulated quite a harem. He has many, many wives at his disposal for his joy and pleasure. He would think he has enough to keep him satisfied and not needing any more. But one day he happens to look upon a woman new to him. Her name is Bathsheba. Perhaps you have heard of her. Supposedly most beautiful. And he is taken by her beauty. And wants Bathsheba for himself, there's only a slight problem. We discover that Bathsheba's already married to a man named Uriah, a Hittite, a soldier who's actually been hired to come fight in David's army as he goes out to conquer the world. That doesn't stop the king of the land, does it? He takes Bathsheba for his own, sends Uriah out to battle to be killed. Isn't that a convenient way to get rid of the wife's husband? And then go on about life as though nothing has happened. But remember, you're sitting there with a prophet. Prophets know what happens. Because prophets are in communication with God. God has laid out for Nathan everything that David has done. So what David is unfolding is showing to David, your secret is not a secret. God knows our every action. God knows what you have done. And as you sit and watch David in the second act of the play, you will see he begins to see the error of his ways. It has been pointed out by Nathan what he has done wrong, and he wants to repent, to beg for God for mercy. And then the curtain drops again, and the play is over. And we're left leaving that theater thinking, now who's our Nathan? Who's going to be so blunt and so courageous in life to come to me and say, Joe, do you know what you've done? Earlier this summer, when we were in the book of Ecclesiastes, one of our themes was about, do you have somebody in your life who's willing to be so brutally honest with you? I hope you do. Because we all have a little piece of David in us, right? That's why you go to the theater and watch these plays, because there's places that you connect in the story, and we're to find our connections to David in this story. Who is that person willing to come to us and point out the error of our ways? Can you imagine the guts it took for Nathan to do that? To sit with the most powerful man in the world and point out to him what he has done wrong? David could have just as easily had him taken off the stage and eliminated. He's already shown he has the power to do that with people. But David is humbled instead. He is filled with remorse. He sees the error of his ways. And God used Nathan to do that. I think the reality of life is when we do something wrong, there is no escape. You may think you've covered up your tracks, but you know what you've done. It's always going to be there. You may think others don't know it, but you will always know what you have done. Perhaps you will be blessed enough to have someone who will help you see the error of your ways, who will come alongside of you and say, you know, Joe, you shouldn't have done that, and help you find your way to the seat of grace and mercy, where, like David, we too will go to God and say, forgive me for what I have done. I think there are four truths that I find in this story of David and what we can learn from the play. The first is we all have the capacity to be like David. We all, somewhere along the way, have abused someone else by wanting what is theirs. Do you know that to be true in your life? It obviously is a big enough concern because it made the list of the Big Ten. It happens to be the 10th and final commandment. It's in language that you probably don't quite understand. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, a little foretaste of this story, or anything else that neighbor owns, and they put it in ancient terms, you know, their ox and their donkeys and their goats and their sheep and their cattle and their corn and whatever else you might think of, but you can put it in your modern terms. We all fall into that trap of wanting something, coveting something that someone else has that's not ours. The second truth is this. I think all of us have that great ability to see the fault in someone else's eye and never see it in our own. We can always point out the blame of somebody else and say, oh, look what she did, never wanting that to be pointed out for me. The gospel said something about that. It's the problem of seeing the speck in your neighbor's eye while refusing to see the log that is in your own eye. That's what Jesus was talking about. The third truth is that we all need a friend like Nathan who will come and confront us and help us understand where we fall short in life. And the fourth truth is we all need what David needed. We all desire the gifts of grace and mercy when we stand before the judgment of God. Every one of us wants to be forgiven for the mistakes and the sins we commit and cause. I think that's a universal feeling. It's what we teach our children, is it not? Say you're sorry. We teach that early in life to realize you need to confess what you've done. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to say, I am sorry. So that you can be forgiven. The whole point of this story is finding the ability to look in the mirror and see what you've done wrong. Whether you have the capability to do that yourself or whether you need someone to help you do that. But it's the only way to be released from the burden that you will carry the rest of your life of what you have done. To go to God and ask for mercy. To ask to be forgiven. To say, I am sorry. Who will be your Nathan? Who will help lead you to that place of grace? If you don't have somebody in your life, find someone who will. Someone who's willing to be honest with you. Someone who's willing to help you see sometimes what I cannot see in myself. It will definitely make us better people. Amen.